This is CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is the Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Today's show is about sexual harassment. And this is very relevant right now, as some really high-profile cases of sexual assault and harassment have been making headlines recently. And I'm sure if you've been reading the media and looking at all the articles, some of these are really shocking. People in really high positions have been taking advantage of their underlings or their staff. It seems as though your colleagues and bosses have forgotten the rules at work, and one of them is... Yes, absolutely. Keep Your Hands Off is by Hopes Die Last. Came up with that hectic song. You've got to learn to keep your hands off. That's what we're going to be discussing today. Keep your hands to yourself and keep your mouth shut at work if you're going to be a bit salacious. For those of you who have forgotten exactly what the rules are, we've invited into our studios two legal specialists who know about the law of sexual harassment extremely well. Joining us today is attorney Monique Jefferson. She's a director of international law firm, a massive law firm worldwide, known as DL Pipe. I think you're the biggest in the world today, or you feature somewhere.
About the fourth biggest, but yeah.
Okay, I gave you a compliment for that. She's from DLA Piper Santon. Also with us is Advocate of the High Court, Gail Blacher, who, listen to this one, she's done her master's degree in sexual harassment. Am I right about
that? That's correct, Gail.
Yeah, of all subjects. Gail is of rightsatwork.co.za, rights at work, R-I-G-H-T-S. Now, most sexual harassment cases go unreported, but today we have a woman who's been waiting for this opportunity to report the fucker that did that harassed her. She'd been waiting ages to tell her story. She was so pleased when we got hold of her. She said, yes, I want to be on Cliff Central. She's the lady that I didn't know whether she wanted to be anonymous or not. She said, Gary, I'm proudly Charmaine. Welcome to you, Charmaine.
Hi.
Good to have you in studio. Then also we have the founder of an organization called getupwomen.co.za. Her name is Gigi White. Everyone knows Gigi with her pink hair. She's here today representing like 30,000 members who, and they all can't be here. They'd love to be here. She's going to report back to them on what we discussed, and they're going to listen to the podcast as well. Good to have you in studio, Gigi White.
Thank you for having me.
Cool. Our Facebook page is The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg. As Lionel, who's absent today, is writing a board exam, I think. He always says, have a look and give us a like. Today's show is presented in collaboration with Legal Talk South Africa, with their massive following of close to 200,000 passionate people who write on legal subjects all the time. And they want every woman in town wants to know, men as well, want to know about the subject. So let's kick off with Charmaine. You've got a story to tell. Last year, I think it was, or a year or two ago, you joined a small printing company, and there were three or four others working there. I'm just going to summarize the beginning to help you along. The offices were open plan, so everyone could hear and see what was going on. Within 6 weeks of starting there, a man who had previously worked there joined the company as office manager. What did you think of him when he first joined? What was your impression? Yeah.
At first, I was extremely excited to have him coming on board, to be able to learn from him. Talk in the office was that he was very good at his job, and he could learn and teach us quite a bit. But very soon after him starting there, within days, I was quite disappointed to find out that he's actually extremely, what would be the right word,
Naughty.
Arrogant. Extremely arrogant.
Okay, so he was there to train you people.
He was there, according to our boss and according to him, to save our jobs. We were told in no uncertain terms that we would follow what he says.
Shemaine, let's go a little bit back. You had just gone through a very messy divorce, hadn't you?
Well, when I'm still going through a very messy divorce.
With a horrible partner and all the rest. So things weren't great for you at the time, and you needed kind of warmth and care and not somebody trying to be clever with you. Am I right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What age are you? Are you happy to...
I'm not. I'm a 47-year-old
Okay, very
lady.
Attractive woman, yeah. I shouldn't say that.
Thank you so much.
Is that harassment, lady? No.
Watch what you're saying, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a young 47-year-old. I'm proud of my age. I'm proud of my story. I'm proud of where I've been in life. But this young gentleman, he was quite a bit younger than me.
Yeah.
He just had absolutely no respect for me as a woman. There was another lady in the office as well, which seemingly didn't mind his things he used to say. And he used to say horrible, disgusting things.
Like what?
Well, initially it started off with subtle nuances of, come with me to my van. He drove a little bucky. Come with me to my van and I'll turn your frown upside down within 10 minutes.
Maybe
and
he wanted to tell you a joke.
No. Well, that's not what I
yeah, that's
I
not what any reasonable person would expect, yeah.
But very soon and rapidly it escalated to a point where he'd asked me questions like how often I changed my underwear or what size bra I wear. And at one stage he asked me if my breasts were implants or natural. And the first time after he started working that I wore a skirt to work, the moment I stepped into the office, he jumped out of his chair and in full view and in full where everybody could hear, he said, oh, today there's easy access with a dress. Needless to say, I never wore a dress or a skirt to the office again. And
how did your colleagues react to all this? Did anyone say anything to you?
Well, the company in general was a very abusive atmosphere. So
starting from the boss down?
Starting from the owner of the company down, verbally abusive. If you didn't like what was happening, he'd tell you there's the effing door. You can go. So he really wasn't too worried about loyalty and your viewpoint of the company. He wanted his job done and that's that. If you didn't like it, there's the door.
What about getting jobs? I mean, in your kind of business, is it difficult for a woman of 47 to find a position?
Well, with my history, yes. I came out of a marriage of 20 years where I worked for myself. So I didn't have any contactable references. Although I had 18 years experience in the industry, I couldn't prove it beyond my own company. And after leaving my ex-husband, I had to go out and work for a third party.
Yes.
So I had to take what is available.
And was this one of the few or the only that was available?
Well, at that stage, the only one. I was at that stage on crutches as well. I just hadn't broken my leg. So I felt so grateful that there was somebody that was willing to give me an opportunity, seeing that I was on crutches, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I absolutely wanted to make this work. I was so excited. My kids would tell me in the evenings, in the first two evenings, Mommy, you're not at work anymore. Calm down. You don't need to tell us what are you going to do and what you've been doing. And eventually, every morning driving to work, I was in tears. Every afternoon leaving the office, I was in tears. I wouldn't cry or let them see at the office that this was affecting me in the fear of looking weak. But it was absolute anxiety. I'd cry myself to sleep at night because I have to go back tomorrow. It was just extremely traumatic.
Horrible when you're in need of a job and you've got to put up with this abuse. The question that everyone will want to ask you is, why didn't you go to the boss?
The boss was not approachable at all. He was extremely verbally abusive, not in a sexual way, but in a just verbally abusive way. He would make very sure that you understood that he was the boss and this guy that was the offender was his too. Or second in line, he called him his 2IC. So there was no ways that I could go to him and say, listen, your blue-eyed boy is making me uncomfortable. And even though I verbalized to this offender, you are making me uncomfortable. And he started ridiculing me.
Like what?
in front of all our staff, he would say, oh, I can't say that because Auntie Charmaine will say it's sexual harassment.
Mm.
And what eventually drove me to leave the company was we closed down in the for the December period on the 15th, and about two to three days before that, he was having a vulgar conversation about sexual positions and sexual preferences with the other young lady in the office, and she obviously didn't seem to mind. But to me, this was highly inappropriate. And he then stood up and said, "And Auntie Charmaine, I take it you prefer it from the back."
Mm. That's hideous, I was so revolted
that for a moment I was stunned. I didn't know what to say. Or
it's repulsive. It was completely repulsive.
I was absolutely flabbergasted. Mm. So I just continued with my work, and I pretended not to hear him. But he kept insisting on an answer. And eventually I said, you know, called him by name, and I said, you know, this is inappropriate. I'm not going to stoop down to your level by giving you an answer. You are making me uncomfortable. Mm. And he saw that I was highly irate.
Yes.
And about 2 hours later, that's after ignoring him, he could see I was upset. About 2 hours later, he came to me and he said, I apologize. I made you feel uncomfortable. But within 30 minutes after that, he started with his remarks again. So when we closed in December, I started contacting Legal Talk South Africa via Facebook, and I asked them,
What should I do?
And I eventually laid a case against the gentleman. It's been 6 months.
You went to the CCMA?
I went to the CCMA.
And what did you, what kind of case did you bring against him?
It was twofold. I brought against the company for constructive dismissal, which I won. But the sexual harassment part, they completely dismissed. Mm. I laid a complaint with the SAPS. Mm. After them actually laughing me out of the station, only upon my assistance they took down my statement. It's been 6 months and I haven't heard from anybody.
Let me ask you this question. If you had to redo or rethink what happened to you, would you do it differently now? The dust has settled. It's some time ago. Would you have reacted and acted differently, or would you have done exactly what you did? Because today you're going to get the right advice as to what you should have done or what women in your position should do. How do you feel you dealt with this?
I'd say the right way to deal with it is to go to his immediate superior, if that's a possibility. But in my case, that was just not on the cards. There was no ways I could go to the owner of the company and discuss this openly with him, because he was partaking in similar kinds of conversation with a younger gentleman.
Mm.
And so I don't think he would have taken me seriously. When I did resign after the fact...
Our lawyers are jumping up and down here. They can't wait to tear into this one.
Telephonically, I informed him of, listen, this is the actual reason why I am leaving.
Mm.
And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. Why didn't you come to me? And I told him I didn't feel comfortable enough or safe enough to speak to you. Because you already swear at us about simple little errors a person makes on the computer. I didn't have that confidence in you as an employer to
protect
me.
Yeah. You say you went to the CCMA. Were you awarded money or...
I got a monetary compensation of 2 months' salary, but that was for the...
Was that a settlement or did the commission actually...
No, that was a settlement.
So you agreed before you went in or afterwards or...
No, what happened is the employer came in and he immediately admitted swearing at all of his personnel.
So, sorry, the CCMA hearing had nothing to do with the harassment. It had to do with...
No, they weren't interested
in the
harassment.
Just that he was making your life impossible.
Yes,
is that?
Yes. Yeah. And I got a settlement of 2 months' salary, but to me that does not justify the sexual harassment. And I haven't been able to get justice.
You never
that.
Told the CCMA about the harassment, did
I
you?
I did, but they dismissed it. They said that's something completely different. Yes.
Mm.
It's not labor-related.
We're gritting our teeth here and we're really upset about this one. Yeah. Let's talk to... Who wants to jump in? Gail Blacher or Monique? Who wants to go first?
Well, the first thing I would say... If you've got an issue like this, if you've got a harassment problem, I would say don't leave the company. Deal with it while you're still employed. That is the first thing. That's your best chance to get a decent settlement and to resolve the issue and deal with it. So that is the very first thing.
What happens if it's absolutely unbearable? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just can't take it anymore. He made her life a misery. Must she sit it out? It's a bit like saying to a wife who's battered by her husband, stay there. I hear what you're saying, Gail, and I hear that you want to preserve the job. But sometimes it's just too hurtful.
Look, it is very hurtful, and you have to be tough. You really have to be strong to deal with this. Mm. But as soon as you see it happening, you should do something about it. But the trouble is that most employees have got no idea what the procedure is. They've got no idea what the process is. Mm. So the law is very much in favor of the employee. You know, we've got strong codes, the Code of Good Conduct for Sexual Harassment Cases, which prescribes exactly how the matter must be handled. Mm. We've got the Constitution, you know, which and we've got the Employment Equity Act. So you really do have the law on your side.
Mm.
So
that's why we run this show, because we want people to know what their rights are. Forgive me, Monique, I think you've made one blunder after another, and you could have screwed the shit out of this company.
Totally.
And your colleague there, if you had handled this properly. Gail, I'm going to come back to you. Let's just ask Monique.
Yeah.
What happens if she goes to the... Why didn't she go to the boss, and should she have gone to the boss? That's what we want to know.
So I think she definitely should have gone. I think it's the difficulty was this was a very small organization. So I think in reality, in big organizations, this is very a lot easier, because you've got a usually a grievance procedure you can follow. There's HR support, or you'd go to the boss. It certainly does give you a better case if you've escalated it. And I think that would have been the issue here, is the fact that it wasn't escalated while you were an employee. That does, you know, particularly if you wanted to get a claim from the company for vicarious liability, that is something that you are able to claim under the Employment Equity Act.
Okay, so let's break this down. Yeah. Let's talk big company, little company.
Mm.
Big company, you go to... Who do you complain to? HR? Where do you go?
Yeah, so look, companies should have some sort of sexual harassment policy setting out the procedure, and you could go with an informal approach or a formal one. Usually I would recommend you start off maybe informally, which you did, where you actually challenged this particular sex pest, and you spoke to him, and that would be the first approach. He still persisted. So at that point, you would go to... You could raise it with a manager, a supervisor. You could go to HR. You would probably want to be guided by the company's code, but I think that wouldn't be rigidly applied, you know, as long as you go to someone for some sort of help. And interestingly, there have been cases, like if we look at the Liberty case, where the person didn't follow the exact channel, but the fact that they did tell other people and nothing was done, the employer was vicariously liable.
Okay, so I want to stop you there. Vicarious is a lawyer's term. Okay, we understand that, Gail and I and yourself. What can you get if you go to an employer, if she had gone to the boss and said, hey, this man is making an absolute fool of me, he's belittling me, he's hurting me, and if the boss did nothing, what does she get in money terms? That's what I want to know. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So what vicarious liability means is that the company is responsible as if they are the person actually doing the harassment. So you would be able to claim damages, and that's the damages that you suffered. So it could be if you needed to go for, you know, psychological help, medical treatment, pain and suffering. You could also, if you because you resigned, and then if you couldn't get a job for a period of time, you could claim that loss of earnings. So you would need to quantify it in that terms, and you could claim against this particular the person that did it as well as the company, and they could both be held liable for that.
So the company is actually liable for what its employee does, and it's the company that's swearing at you and telling you about your boobs and everything else.
Yeah.
Gail, yes.
The company can avoid vicarious liability if it proves that it's actually doing something about
Absolutely,
it. It can't always stop the harassment, but it's got to show positive moves in that direction.
Yes.
So if the company can come forward and show what it's doing to rectify the situation, then often it can avoid.
So if Charmaine had gone to the boss, the owner of the company, and said, hey, this is what's happening, he had to do something about it.
Absolutely. He had to. Yeah. First, there's a procedure. Oh. He's got to, first of all, there's an investigation that's got to take place. Oh. He's got to speak to the employee once she's laid a grievance, to find out if she wants a formal or informal process. Often, if they're very intimidated, they may just want to have an informal process. They wanted everything to be very confidential. And you may start off with that process. But the company itself might decide to have a formal process, regardless of how the employee feels.
Oh.
Just because they feel they need to end this harassment.
What happens, Gail, if the boss laughs it off, as Charmaine thought he would do? He says, Ahmed, go and sort out your own problem. It's not my problem. What financially, what is the sanction against that company?
Okay, what I always tell my clients, while they're still employed, start collecting emails, material, recordings, build up your case. That's the first thing you do. Because now you've got to go to the CCMA and you're going to go for them. So, whilst you're still working there. So you've got to maybe bite the bullet for a little bit longer. You've already endured this for a while. Carry on. Let it carry on. But start collecting your case. Start building your case. Be, you know, constructive. Proactive.
Yes.
And
once you've got all the evidence, then you go to the CCMA. And what do you say to them? I'm still working there. These people are making my life intolerable. What relief can you get from the CCMA?
Well, first of all, the CCMA will want to have a conciliation. Mm. So you've got to put in your form.
Yes.
And you put your form in. I'm not going to give you all the terms and the numbers. So you put your form in, and then the CCMA will have a conciliation where the employer will be there present with the employee and try and conciliate the matter. Often it won't be conciliated. Mm. And only once it's not conciliated, then you go to the next stage.
Which is what?
Go to an arbitration.
Okay. It would be conciliated because, I mean, what is the employee going to say? I didn't harass her. I didn't make a fool of her. It's obvious she's got 10 witnesses that he did, you know, or 3 or 4 people. So the fact is there the matter would be conciliated, and then what would happen? What would the ruling be?
Well,
what's the best ruling she could have got if she had done this properly?
Well, at the conciliation, you may get a settlement. I don't know if it was at the conciliation that you got the settlement, but you may get choose to leave and just get a settlement.
No, she wants to stay. She needs the job, girl.
She wants to stay. Yeah. Then you've got to discuss at the conciliation.
Yeah.
Then you've got to agree. You can draw up an agreement there and then what is going to happen from then on.
You're going to stop harassing me. You're going to stop putting your hands on me. And
company is also going to put in place proper policies and procedures that are going to take place because it doesn't sound like this company had any policies and procedures in place. So the commissioner may assist and ensure that there'll be proper policies and procedures put into place that can be followed thereafter. And then if she still gets harassed.
Yes, what happens then?
Well, then she can take it again to the CCMA. Yeah. And then if she goes to arbitration, at least she's got good evidence. At least then. Now she had no evidence whatsoever, and that was the problem. That's why she never managed to get anything on the sexual harassment. She had no material to present to the commissioner.
Monique, we always say, please preserve your jobs. That's the cardinal rule. Preserve your job. Don't leave and try and get 2 months, because 2 months' money goes in a minute. Okay, please preserve your job. Why on earth, Shemaine, should you have left? That bastard should have left, not you. So the wrong person left. And you unfortunately walked out with 2 months, which is stupid.
Well, I can tell you that the employer made no. Implicitly that if anybody had a problem with this guy whatsoever, that person would be the one to go, not him. Because this was his absolutely go-to guy, and you could even see
him. That's not the law, Shemaine. He can't say that. He can't say if you have a problem with someone who's harassing you, it's your problem.
Well, he made laws unto himself.
Okay, so now we're telling you, and I hope many people are listening to this, it's the employer's problem. His employee is his problem. Mm-hmm. It's not yours, it's his. And Monique wants to say something.
Firstly, just on your constructive dismissal claim, I think you would have been in a much better bargaining power there if there had been a paper trail, or at least where you had first said, given them an opportunity to rectify the situation. If they then hadn't done that, your boss then hadn't intervened, it just also strengthens your constructive dismissal claim, because with a constructive dismissal claim, you've got to show you've tried everything and the employer still didn't help. And just on the other thing is, this was like an unequal bargaining power. I mean, he was your superior, and the courts are really taking that a lot more seriously and saying that when you as an employer put somebody in a senior position, you've got to be able to trust them. They've got to be of that sort of behave appropriately. So they are putting a lot more emphasis on that. It's different to maybe when it's just two colleagues at the same level, but here the employer has to take it seriously, and even after you resigned, they should have done an investigation. There is a lot of case law about that, where people only raise this in their exit interview because they are trying to preserve their job, and now they say, okay, I've found another job, I can go, but I want to tell them. And the company should actually at that point still investigate take action.
I have told the employer, even at the CCMA, I told him this is the main reason why I left. And he told me straight, I've even got a WhatsApp of him saying, I don't believe you. This is never going to...
That's even better for you. All we can say is there's one thing that went wrong here. You lost your job. And that's what's hurting all of us. You lost a job that you should never have lost. Yeah. And if you were going to lose that job, then he must come down with you and pay for it properly, not just give you 2 months. Mm. And that's the hurtful part of all this. I want to talk to Gigi. We'll come back to you, Shemaine. Don't feel bad. We're hammering you.
But you are
the guinea pig. You are the person that's explaining to everyone what everyone's doing wrong.
I'm the person that wants the people out there not to go through what I had.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, there's no stopping sexual harassment. Will continue. It's how you handle it is what we're looking for. Gigi, you represent 30,000 women.
Yeah.
So many.
38,000.
38, sorry. So is it only women?
It's only women.
Okay. So many of them confide in you and they go through the same. Give us some idea of what's going on out there from your members.
You know, listening to Shemaine, it is just a total abuse of power. Mm. And we are seeing it from bosses, landlords, partners. That's pretty much everywhere. Mm. And I completely understand what she's saying. You do, in a way, want to keep your job because it is difficult to find a job at the moment. I mean, we have women begging for jobs. But in the same breath, how do you stay? Mm. And we all know most of the laws. You know, you can Google them. You can go into legal talk. You can figure out what the laws are. Mm. But if he doesn't want to abide by the laws, what do you do? And 9 times out of 10, it's a financial thing. And when you think of going, okay, you know, there's an issue at work, I need to go find a lawyer, you think, oh, it's money. And a lot of women don't have that access to go and get a lawyer who can assist her or anybody who can give her the advice. I mean, we're dealing with a case at the moment where the girl is actually getting raped at work.
Oh, my word.
And it's been going on for years. And we know that there are more, and we just can't find them. Like, we can't get these girls to talk
out. There's something wrong here. Gail's in the CCMA once a week, once a day. I don't know how often. The CCMA is a great vehicle, isn't it, for complaints of this nature. I think you get good justice there, Gail.
You get great settlements.
Great justice.
Yeah,
But you've got to prepare your case properly. We've said this a million times.
You've got to have a proper case. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to upskill yourself before you resign or anything. You've got to really know what you're doing. And if necessary, get help. I would say get help.
Gigi, I'll tell you the problem here. One consultation with someone like Monique or me or Gail or whatever would, so you'll pay whatever you'll pay, $1,500, $2,000, whatever. And we're not looking to promote ourselves here, but one consultation will set you on the right path with the right person. And they will tell you, handle it like this. If you're not sure of your rights, don't try and take out your own appendix. Go to a doctor. He'll take out your appendix. Go to a lawyer or a labor consultant or expert, and he will tell you how to plan your case so that you take on these horrific people who are battering our employees.
As Gigi said, is the problem is getting that advice for most women in a position that is absolutely dependent on their job is that they can't take that 2,000 rand to pay for a lawyer for a process that might pay off in the future, because that 2,000 rand pays the rent for this month. So that's most often the constraint is for people that are absolutely dependent on their income, and which
yes,
was
but
in
that
my
person
case,
is losing her job. You lost your job in the end.
In my case,
you lost your job.
I could not afford to pay more than my rent, so there was no room for getting a lawyer involved or anything. I eventually got some advice from Legal Talk, the Facebook page.
There's a lot of people that give good advice there. There's some great advice going on there because there are a lot of Labour people that are floating around there. I don't know whether you took their advice. Did you take the advice they gave?
It was on their advice that I laid the constructive dismissal case.
But you left first, and I think that's where the mistake is.
I left before discussing it with them because I didn't realize that this was constructive dismissal. Mm. I just knew that I had to get out of this.
That's what
trauma.
Happens. You just run for your life. Yeah.
Yeah. You see, that's what's hurtful is that you're running for your life to your own detriment.
Yeah. Mm.
There's another thing I want to ask our resident attorneys in studio today, Gail and Monique. What about a protection order? Can you get a protection order against the person that's harassing you? Gail, you or Monique, or who wants to?
Well, you can get a protection order, but I would say the best avenue to go, if it's between an employer and employee, is this route that we're talking about. Protection order would apply when it's not an employee-employee relationship.
Yeah. Monique, how do you feel about
it? It is definitely open to you as an employee to use it. I think a lot of, I don't see it happening in practice often at all. I think it's also that thing about wanting to maintain the relationship. So when you go and get a protection order, by that point, you know that it's going to be very hard to continue that relationship, you know, with your employer. So, I mean, I think that definitely is a remedy available. I just don't see it used very often.
I also don't see it used in business context because everyone's saying, the CCMA is great. Mm. Go there, they'll help you. But sometimes you may not want to go. You want to stay in your job. You go off to the magistrate's court and you make an affidavit, say this. You give them the evidence. This is what he's saying to me, exactly as you told us today. Put it in an affidavit and they will issue a protection order stopping him from harassing you. Which is quite good evidence if the boss does nothing about it. I quite like it, although it's not used much, but I do like it. The problem is you've got to take off work to go and stand at the magistrate's court. That's another issue, isn't
and
it?
And then to get that protection order.
Yeah, and
those things are impossible.
Yeah, and time consuming.
Like, I actually think some of the courts have ran out, like they're out of stock. I don't know, because we're not getting them.
I also think that's where employers are failing their employees, because you have this duty of good faith to your employees. You're supposed to provide a safe working environment. Mm. So as the employer, you need to have these mechanisms where your employees feel comfortable coming to you, and you need to actually work with employees when they have this concern and this complaint. And there should be a sexual harassment policy. There should be training. Managers should know, well, everybody should know what is not acceptable at work.
Yeah, well, this was basically a five-person company and there was no policies. We only got employment contracts a week before we closed for that December, and we were told if you don't sign this, you don't get paid this month. And it was absolutely a case of, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. If you complain about this, there's the door. You can, in a more verbal way, take the door. So the whole time you knew that anything that happened, you weren't protected as an employee. Yeah. So you'd rather keep quiet. Even if they were verbally attacking you, you take the lesser ground and put your head down and continue with your work. Because you know taking them on would mean there's the door. So I stuck around for as long as I could, but eventually I was at the point that I was crying virtually 100% of the time when I was home. So I was having no quality home life because I was so in such a state of trauma that my adult two sons couldn't bear with me anymore. They told me, "Mommy, if it's that bad, just do something about it. You can't continue this." I'd come home from work exhausted. Most often, I'd have a migraine. I'd want to go to bed immediately. I just wanted to shut off from the world. So it's not as easy as stick it out. It's sometimes
you know. One of the defenses often raised by someone accused of harassment, he says, or she may say, "I didn't know I was harassing you. I really didn't. I thought you were quite enjoying it. I was trying to be a bit fun with you." Does that work, that kind of defense, Gail? Lacher, yeah?
You know what? Sometimes they're actually right. It depends on the industry. It depends, on the person. It's a very subjective test.
And didn't you once, in your young days, didn't you walk into a canteen or something and the bosses said something about you? Was it you?
Absolutely,
it was. Yeah, what is that story? I think you told me once years ago.
Well, it was a very, very big company, very big institution.
Yeah.
And I was young, and one of the very, very senior people said to me, "Have you ever slept with a grandfather?" Which was, you don't know. You don't know that this is harassment. Sure, that was harassment.
Because he was the age of a grandfather.
He was the age of a grandfather.
Yeah.
Of course, I just turned away and walked away. Yeah. But that is harassment. But you can't take every incident of harassment. You can't make a big thing out of it. It depends on the circumstance. It depends how you handle it. So Charmaine's situation is serious, very serious. And, of course, that's harassment.
Yes.
But sometimes in the industry, maybe an advertising industry, someone came to me the other day. He's in a very macho industry, in the steel industry. He came and said to me, he went up to a female colleague and put his hand on her shoulder and squeezed his shoulder and said, "How's it going?" and carried on walking as just a sign of camaraderie. And this woman immediately went as a sexual harassment. So, and clearly it wasn't. I mean, it was. How far are we actually taking it as well is important. And I don't think that, I think some people, some employees are actually using it as a weapon. So we've got to be very careful of that as well. We don't want to, you know, make quite, light of it.
Quite honestly, I'm quite complimentary. Sometimes in the office, one of the ladies is wearing a nice pair of shoes or something. You say, lovely shoes. You're scared to say anything anymore, lest you be accused of kind of harassing them in some
way. Well, I think it goes down
nice
to...
Nice shoes that look good under my bed kind of thing. That's harassment. Yeah.
I think it goes down to a question of dignity. Do you feel that your dignity is being impaired? I think you must ask yourself that question. Ask yourself, how unwelcome is this? Mm. And that's when you can decide if you know how you're feeling and in that particular situation. For example, working on a construction site and working in a law firm, the standards are very different.
Yes.
But I also think it's like it doesn't always have to be your responsibility. Like, so you got to sit back and kind of go, okay, what he said, do I have to take offense? Or I think he should watch himself as well. Like, I think staff in general, don't be a moron. Mm. Like, don't say to a woman, you know, nice ass or whatever. Don't do it.
Yeah. Mm.
And surely you should, as a grown-up working in a company, know how to speak to people so that it doesn't come off or, you know, non-sexually offensive. It's not hard.
If I say to you, nice dress, is that...
It's
is that
nice dress.
Is it offensive?
No, but if you're going to go, nice dress, you know, I'd like to see it on the floor. Yeah, it's well, a different story, but you're grown up enough to know the difference.
Monique?
Yeah, I mean, look, and the thing is, there are complainants that do get offended with the nice dress or your hair looks nice today or even just getting a chocolate for work well done. Mm. And these are things we have to deal with. I mean, I think the legal landscape has changed in the sense that a few years ago, it was definitely, you would have to make it clear it was, well, it seemed like the cases were saying you must make it clear it's unwelcome. There's been a lot of cases recently where the courts have found you don't have to actually expressly say this is unwelcome. And the courts have said, particularly where there's a power imbalance, if you just, you know, sometimes people are just too scared to say anything, they're worried about their job, or they might even be momentarily flattered. And the courts have said that does not mean that they have to expressly say this is unwelcome for it to constitute sexual harassment. Those cases particularly were ones where there was this power imbalance. So I still feel like there is this element where you must say, you know, say it's unwelcome or at least show by your conduct that you're not endorsing it. I mean, I think the codes have said stuff like that as well, or get somebody else to say it on your behalf. But the 1998 code also talks about inappropriate. You know, people must know if this conduct is inappropriate. Yeah, and as you said, employees need to know this is inappropriate. This doesn't work in the workplace. Yeah, what I can do on the weekend in my personal space is different to work. Mm-hmm. And that's a culture we as employers need to foster. Yeah.
If I can come in,
yes, here, Shemaine, yeah.
This guy must definitely have known that he's overstepping the bounds. He went as far as to, because I was in the middle of a divorce, and he frequently asked me if I was dating anybody, and I was quite explicit of why I'm getting divorced and how I feel about my ex-husband and et cetera, et cetera. And I tell him, no, I'm not interested at this stage. And he went as far as to, we had a whiteboard against the wall there, and he drew a little diagram stating that I'm an anti-man club on my own, and we'd meet at these certain times, and he'd write our working hours on the board. And that stayed up there for weeks.
Embarrassing.
So, so even the employer, the owner of the company, at one stage asked what this is, because he thought it might have something to do with work and he wanted to understand what was going on there, because this guy was supposed to be giving us lessons in certain things every day. And everybody jokingly told him what it's about, and they made one big hoo-ha about it. And I felt absolutely embarrassed, dignity stripped completely.
Shemaine, you left claiming constructive dismissal, which really means that your employer makes your life so difficult, really, in basic terms, that you can't bear it anymore and you left. What has happened to you since then?
I'm working for myself now. I'm freelancing as a graphic designer. Some months it goes.
Do you want to give your website out if people want someone?
Yeah. Well, I have got a website. It's novellegraphique.com, or on Facebook as novellegraphique.
N-O-V?
N-O-U-V-E, the French spelling of Nouvelle Graphique.
Yes.
We're an up-and-coming company. I have a partner that does my marketing for me.
Are you happy?
I'm happy doing what I love doing.
Are you earning more or less right now than you would have if you had stayed there?
less, I think, at this stage. Well, some months more, but on average. What is getting to me is working for yourself, and I think anybody else out there doing that knows that, that income is not guaranteed working for yourself. It's dependent on the client's financial position and if the client's going to pay you in time. So I'm having that struggle that I've got certain responsibilities at a certain time of the month, and I'm not getting that income in as I was used to.
Yeah, I think it's everyone's problem. Yeah, in business. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's in business. So yeah. Business out there
is
tough.
People are not paying on time, and you've got to wait and so
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
You don't think us lawyers are not battling as well to collect our debtors. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it applies to all of us. When you think back now, I mean, it was a terrible time in your life, wasn't it, going through all that? You were going through a messy divorce, and then you had this guy making all kinds of horrid suggestions. I hope you've learned from today. I hope it's helped you. Yeah, I don't want you to say, I want to know what the...
I could have handled things differently. Yeah. I did have awfully a lot of recordings of this guy's harassment, but unfortunately, as I went to the CCMA, I was mugged and my cell phone was stolen with my recordings. So I lost all my evidence right there and then. And that broke my case. So I knew all these steps that I had to take after the fact. But if I knew that, just hold on 3 more months and we could settle it a different way, more profitable. A person doesn't want to profit out of something like this, but you want to be able to keep on earning.
You don't want to lose your job. I think that's
earning your
living. Don't let anyone make life so. You know, it's a bit like bullying. If there's a bully at school, do you leave the school or do you get the bully chucked out? You know, this is really what it's all about. And there's so many kids. We've done so many of these shows as well. Little kids that are bullied by the bully. The school's got to do something about it, and they do. They're very tough, most schools.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So it's a bit like this. You know, you have the boss, the school. Everyone's got to. We've got the laws in place. There's no one out there that should be going through this hell.
Well, I can just mention that in my immediate vicinity, I've got an adult that has recently been dismissed from a position for being a certain personality type. So bullying still takes place, and even sexual bullying still takes place in the workforce. So I'd just like to tell all the listeners there that find out exactly how you can mediate this before taking action.
Yeah, there's so many people that are just so scared to lose their jobs that they just about accept any shit that comes their way, which is quite tragic, isn't it?
Well, I was in that position.
It shouldn't be like that.
I was in that position.
The three lawyers here are really beating this up. Don't let that happen to you, no matter how much you want that job.
But
you can
see,
safeguard,
The girl that we're busy dealing with, her boss hires the girls very young. You know, they're all like kind of school leavers, 17, 18. And then he starts with that lovely dress. Love your hair. You look beautiful today. Cannot give you a lift home. You know, then before you know it, he's paying your creche fees for your little one, or paying your rent. Or, and then it eventually escalates into him literally raping these women in his office. He's the boss. These girls, some of them, I mean, the one in particular has been there for years. And she came to us, where do you go with her? You can't go to the CCMA with that. You can't expect her to stay while she gets evidence. I mean, this woman is now going for counseling, and we're just trying to keep the pieces of her together. We've pulled her out of the job. She's doing a lot better. But how do you now take the next step?
You just don't allow blessers to bless you when they shouldn't.
Yeah, we just don't have enough evidence.
It's a bit like extortion, you know, once they get into
extortion,
you.
Yeah.
You're done, you know. So don't be blessed. Don't accept it. But if you're going to accept money for it,
money is her salary. You know, it's just we'll increase your salary. We'll make sure we can cover that little townhouse. You will increase your salary. We'll make sure you can pay that. It's coming across as a salary.
It's true, Monique. Yeah. It's absolutely true. It's happening all the time. Yeah.
And like he kind of keeps her there with the salary. Now we've got her away.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to try open up the criminal case. But how do we get her a job? Because that is on her CV. I can't put him down as a reference. There's no way. So her whole life has literally just come to a complete standstill.
Yeah, I mean, we had this, you know, the Harvey Weinstein sagas where he's the Hollywood producer. If you don't put out, you don't get the role.
Yeah.
It's simple as that. I don't know how many women just gave in to him to become famous. And that's what's happening today in business. If you want to hold back, you're one of the wise ones, but you may not get the job. That's the problem.
Yeah. I think also very many women don't actually realize what's happening to them. Mm. It happens slowly.
Yeah,
and
that's
they're
exactly
young,
what
they're
happened.
Naive.
Yeah.
And they just don't even realize. Mm. And they don't realize they've got rights. Mm. And they don't realize that the law's on their side.
That is
and
exactly it.
If they could somehow educate young women about what their rights are and build their strength, you know, I think it would help.
Yes.
And if they could start dealing with it right from when it starts to happen, if they could recognize the signs and deal with it immediately, it would make a huge difference.
So, Gail, when the boss says, listen, if you don't put out, you're not going to get an increase, you can't go on leave, he cuts back. I'll cut back on everything. Mm. What do you do when you're 18 years old, 21 years old, 25 years old? And you get this pressure on you. What do you do? It's an indirect form of harassment.
No,
direct.
It's direct form of harassment. Yeah. Look, you only need one encounter to be sexual harassment. I mean, that's all you need. If it's a large company, of course, and there's a HR or there's a chain of reporting, you even have to tell one person that's more senior than you, and that's enough to cover you because they should deal with the situation. But if there isn't anybody, then there are companies. Well, there's like SAS Law can help you. There's a lot of pro bono organizations that can help you.
Mm.
So if people
are aware
of it.
There's some really gorgeous South African girls and men out there, young, that are getting these kind of offers. I mean, I've heard about them and you read about them that are just, they cannot turn them down. And it comes with kind of benefits to the boss. And these are the people, I mean, Monique's story is an obvious. Put your hand on my arm or touch my breast or talk about my breast or put your hand under my dress. That's an obvious. But the indirect ones or where they're getting blessed in the workplace, that's hard. That's hard to deal with. Very, very hard.
It's financial abuse.
Well, financial abuse.
Yeah, look, and bullying, it's a decision you've got to make. I mean, it's a tough one. But
What do you do when the boss says, listen, you want more money, I'll give it to you. But you've got to, accompany me to wherever.
Well, that's a personal decision you've got to make.
And
Monique,
even in big organizations, when finally this person comes forward and there's an investigation, I find often that complainant ends up on the worst side of it because they say, well, you consented to it, you went along with it.
Mm.
So that's also the problem is when you do finally get the guts to make a stand, then, you're not always on the... But what is comforting is certainly the latest cases are saying that this is an abuse of power. And even if you did go along with it and not say anything, it's still an abuse of power. It's still inappropriate behavior. And, senior managers should not be doing that to their employees.
Well, that's the deal with this girl. She was sitting going, it's my fault. And she was too scared to leave and tell anyone because, according to her, she... I don't know, almost deserved it or because of the brainwashing, it was that constantly like it's your fault and if you didn't do this then I wouldn't do that. And and I mean, she's young, she doesn't know any better. And she did walk out there. I mean, we've literally dragged her out of there. She wanted to go back the other day because she's panicking, how am I going to pay my bills? And we've had to literally drag her away and explain to her what he did is wrong. Like there is no, it is not okay. Ever.
So just let's go through the case law again, Monique. Mm. If there's a young intern with a much older man, what's the law on that? If he says you consented, this was just, it was agreed.
So the question is really, is that real consent? I mean, look, the cases that have looked at this, it was SA Metal Group, the Gaga versus Anger Platinum and also Rustenburg Platinum, where the person didn't, so let's take, say, the SA Metal one. The person sent little SMSs like, let's go out for dinner, whatever, and the person didn't completely rebuff it. They were like, oh, not tonight because I'm working, because they just didn't know how to. They were so worried that this was going to be a career-limiting move.
Yes.
And, so obviously the perpetrator said, oh, no, but you never said this was unwelcome. You enjoyed it. Sometimes you even flirted back. Mm. And the courts are saying, no, because of this power imbalance, this was inappropriate conduct. And you didn't actually have to stand up and say this is inappropriate. It's that power dynamic means it was inappropriate and it does constitute sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there you go. I mean, we've got the answer on that one.
Well, companies actually have to be reactive if they're aware that this is happening. It's not just proactive. They're aware that it's happening. They've got to take action. It's not wait for her to lay a grievance and then we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the answer is if this happens, if the boss is hitting on you and you're young and gorgeous, go and report it.
Or if your line manager sees this happening,
they
must, if he sees this happening, he's got to do something. He can't just stand there and watch it happening.
There's an office party. I've seen it. I've been there where there's some girl half drunk, half naked, lying on the... on one of the tables at a restaurant and giving body shots, and the managers are laughing and everyone thinks this is the funniest thing they've seen. What's the obligation of the manager that's watching all this?
Well, I mean, it's an office party and these things happen all the time.
Yes, but they shouldn't. I mean, he's got to protect the girl that's lying there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, he should actually take control of the situation.
So what should he do? What's his obligation?
Well, if it's an office party, yes, he should maybe, you know, stop the drinks.
Yeah. Pick the girl up and say, get out of here. He can't sit there, watch and laugh with everyone else while she's... Because she's obviously inebriated and she's doing something that she may regret the next
day. Absolutely. So we've
got to understand, I think it's the same principle all the time, the boss is liable for the deeds of their staff, mm-hmm, and the bosses can't look away.
It's got to comes back down to a safe working environment. Mm. Yes. You've got to look after your staff.
It doesn't matter whether it's outside the office or within the office. Just look after your staff.
Well, it depends if it's an office environment.
Office environment.
I mean, if you're in a conference at night, that's a working environment.
Yeah.
You know,
you're there because of your work.
Yeah.
Can you claim damages against someone who's horrific? Could Shemaine go and sue this guy and say, you bastard, you belittled me, you've hurt me, I'm claiming money from you, damages. Can she?
I would go for compensation and damages.
Mm.
Absolutely. But, you know, the law is tough. I mean, I had a case where an employee was having a relationship, a full-on relationship with another employee, much more senior to her. And just one day, she walked in and just said, you know, that's it, the relationship's over. Mm. Well, of course, the other employee didn't believe that the relationship was over and carried on, you know, pursuing it.
Mm.
And we went for sexual harassment, and we... It was a win-win in that he managed to keep his job and she got a huge settlement.
No, good.
But it wasn't correct in that he managed to keep his job, seeing he was the harasser, but he was very senior and he was a big earner. Mm. But this is how prescriptive the law is.
Yeah. It's been a great show. I've loved this one and I think we've learned a lot. Shemaine?
Yes,
don't tell your friends.
Certainly. And if I can give any of the listeners advice, is don't be quiet. Take it further. Find out what your legal rights are. Find somebody somewhere that is able to assist you.
Yeah. Gigi White representing your organization is?
Get Up Women.
Okay. .co.za. Yeah. Many thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm sure your members will enjoy listening to this. I've enjoyed it because I've learned as well that we've got rights and we've got to use them. Gail Blacher, advocate, and to Monique Jefferson of DLA Piper. Many thanks to all of you. And then especially to you, our listener. Thanks for listening. Until next Tuesday, cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.